We have a special guest today. We'll get to my interview with Jake Naraki in just a moment. This is a fairly long interview, but I encourage you to listen to it all when you can. Jake talks about getting over fears, being motivated and staying motivated, and discovering what it is you want. I have learned a great deal from him. Here it is. Our very special guest today is Jake Naraki. He is the founder of Operation Self Reset online. That is his website, operationselfreset.com. At the end, I'll get you all the information, how to get a hold of him and see what he's doing. Jake, welcome.
Thanks, Tyrus. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for bringing me on the podcast today.
Oh, absolutely. Jake, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and specifically how you felt called to share with people and share all these ideas that help put them on a path that is beneficial for them, help them have the fullest life? How did you get to that point where you said, this is what I want to do?
Sure. You know, thanks, Tyrus. To start off, you know, Operation Self Reset is about changing the person you are to that person that you want to be, about a transformation that goes on, you know, mentally. Like, that's the first thing that I always wanted to figure out. Mentally, how do people become successful, right? As we all want to know that secret formula. But for me, you know, my story is kind of the traditional and kind of not. And it all began with my father. Back in the day when I was a young kid at the age of 5, I was playing hockey, you know, traveling around, all that stuff. And my father would take me to the ice rink early in the morning, about 4:30 for practice, because ice time is very there's not a lot of it. So when you have the time available, they just plug you into spots. And during those car rides, my father was a big motivational listener. He loved, you know, listening to these tapes about Zig Ziglar, about how to improve your life, how to improve your financial future, how to improve your motivation, all of this stuff. And of course, as a young child, I was never like, oh, this is great material, Dad. I'm so glad I listened to this one today. Of course, I was staring out the window doing my own thing. Well, as time progressed, my father's always been, you know, very positive and, you know, just emotionally charged on life and understanding that we all have a purpose, understanding we need to enjoy and love the little things that happen around us. And that has carried me through my path. And, you know, after that, my father also owned a lot of real estate property that showed me the importance of hard work, you know, being tough, you know, experience with like talking to other individuals. He would, for example, he would put me in apartments for hours on end when I was like 8 years old and have open houses, and people would walk on in, they would, you know, tour the place, and I would have to give them the 20 cent tour, you know, and try to sell them on this apartment. So that really got me into the mindset of speaking with other people, trying to understand what they're all about. So my, you know, as time goes on, of course, I go through high school, I go through college. After college, I buy my first apartment building because, like I stated before, my father owned a couple. And just like maybe the people listening, you're probably in a field or close to a field or line of work that your parents might have been in, you know, or somebody in your family, because it's just like anything. If your dad's a welder, chances are he's, you know, welding things in the garage. You take interest. Next thing you know, you open up your own little shop or work for a welding firm or what have you. So I decided to buy a building because my father did that. I know how to do it. Crazy not to, right? Yeah. Well, as time progressed, my work was going good. I started dating a girl that turned into my wife. I bought another apartment building. And everything seemed to be going great. Truly, honestly, I had a great home. I had a great relationship. I could not be happier, right? But for a lot of people, just like myself, it feels like you have that void. And that void, like the big turning moment for myself was when I turned 26 years old, December 15th. And that was on my birthday, my morning of my birthday. My wife got on up. She went off to work. I was sitting there all alone. And I was thinking to myself like, huh, there's just something wrong with me. You know, like I feel like there's something missing inside, but I just couldn't figure it out. I looked at everything. I was like, okay, well, my financials, just like anybody else, it's all over the place, but it was in good order. You know, the buildings were going good, relationship were good. I just couldn't figure it out. It wasn't like I didn't need more friends or I needed to party more or something like that crazy. It just was like a missing void. So I called my father because he's been my guidance kind of all throughout my life. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, you know, Dad, I got this weird thing going on with me. And he told me, Jake, I don't know what to tell you, but you, whatever it is, you need to explore and find what it is. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll start looking into that. And as soon as I hung up the phone with him, I was off that day, and I decided to go online and start really researching emotions and things, you know, finding your path and true passion and getting excited about certain things and stuff like that. So I started, you know, going, you know, reading all these books. And one thing that I want to share with your audience that I personally received from my father, because obviously he's been a big mentor in my life, you know, he would give me these books throughout my time and say, hey, read up about this guy and or that girl. And I'd be reading these books. I'm like, Dad, what does this have to do with my life? You know, this person, you know, Sam Walton, you know, I don't know Sam. I mean, yeah, he started Walmart, but what does this have to do with me? He goes, Jake, if you're able to capture 10% that you read from this book, it will help you exponentially on your own personal life. And from that point on, every book, everything that I read, any video I watch, even though it might not hit every sense, I might not be fully engaged 100% of the time. And I think the people that are listening too, they might feel that same way. Like there's a couple of blimps or, you know, ideas that pop in and out, or like, oh, that was a good point, but the rest of this book is not that good. Take those good points, take those little parts that you enjoy and file them away, because there might be a time that you need to use them. So I just wanted to share that with you. But so going off of my kind of my path of finding really who was Jake Naraki, who is Jake Naraki, I went to meetups, and that was one thing that really got me in a different direction. I feel that we get kind of trapped and locked up with the people that surround us. You know, we're kind of the summary of the five closest people around us. We talk about the same things. We kind of have the same job. We make the same wages. We have the same mindset. We're interested in the same subjects. It's just like we're kind of caught in this rut. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying sometimes you need to get outside of the box every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And putting myself out there into meetings of where I'm going and introducing myself and shaking hands and asking people what they're about really put me in a mindset of trying to better myself. And the way that I went about it was I was into inventions. I personally enjoy inventing things, tinkering with things, ideas, being creative. And one of the meetups I first went to was an invention meeting. And it was just able to get out there and talk with like-minded individuals that really personally opened up a whole new chapter of my life. It really got me excited about meeting up with more people, and really it just compounded time and time again. And I really just opened up my wings, and I just started experimenting more and more, not only about myself, but about the people that I want to meet. Hmm. Along that process, I invented a product called Tailgate Spotter. And it's funny because you know how they say all inventions happen out of nowhere. Well, quick summary, I was driving on the expressway, had all these cabinets in the back of my truck. One of the cabinets fell out of my truck because the tailgate was down, which I thought was up, and it actually fell behind me and a car hit it. $1,700 in damage later. I made this little simple device to let you know when your tailgate is in the up or down position. And from there, I personally believe that was my moment to really get over my internal fears. I think a lot of people that want to do something, the one thing that they're concerned of, what is your family going to think and what are your friends going to think? And that was a big internal fear that I personally had to get over, because I made this invention. I got a logo. I did the website, all that stuff. And when it was time to launch, like press the, you know, launch button on this product and website, I was internally freaking out. I was so nervous, so scared. What if my coworkers find out about this? What about my friends? All that stuff. But the best thing I ever did was press that button and I launched it. And yeah, did people make fun of me? Of course. But I tell you what, the amount of people that responded, you know, in a joking manner to me, I laughed it off. I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. And that allowed me to kind of push off my shoulders, not make a big deal out of it. Then these people that made fun of me would actually come up to me in private and go, Jake, you know, that's awesome product. You know, I actually have this idea. And people would start opening up to me as almost I was now the guru of making these inventions. So it was kind of cool how that works. And to relate a message to you guys listening, to put yourself out there, because you never know what you're going to get back in return. Yeah, are people going to make fun of you? Are you going to feel embarrassed? Are you going to feel like, oh, maybe that was a silly idea? But in the long run, it's amazing the amount of people that will come and approach you and go, wow, I really do appreciate you for sharing that, you know, in my case, the invention or whatever. I have a couple ideas. Can you give me tips and stuff? And then you become almost like a leader, and people want to understand more and more about you. So that was my personal second big moment. The first was obviously trying to figure out who I was. The second was, you know, the getting over the internal fears of rejection, which I think it faces everybody. And then lastly, the invention, of course, I'm not a millionaire because of it. It turned out to be a flop, which was fine. I never thought it was going to be, the next, Slap Chop or ShamWow or anything like that. But the next thing that I knew that I needed to do was something else, but I couldn't figure it out. And this really goes into my true story now. Mm-hmm. So along with those buildings that I talked about earlier in the kind of discovery of myself, the buildings were doing good. The loan that I had through a bank was not going too well. It was actually coming due. The note was coming due, which means I would have to pay the full amount left on that note to keep the buildings. Well, of course, I go on into the bank and I sit down across from my bank woman at the time, and I give her my spiel. I say, you know what? I'm unable to pay this off in full. Can I continue to pay on this mortgage? Can we work out maybe another 5-year ARM, and we'll see what happens? And she goes, okay, well, you know, send me all your paperwork, all that stuff. I send her all of my material, taxes, all the forms that you guys know about purchasing a big item. And she goes, you know what, Jake, we're not able to extend your note or your mortgage on those buildings. You have two options. Either you're going to have to sell the buildings or you're going to have to foreclose on them. And I'm so sorry to tell you that, but that's the way it is. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, it's funny because they say never get emotionally connected to any materialistic thing, you know, no matter if it's your personal house, maybe it's just a watch or whatever it is, don't get emotionally connected. Well, with those buildings, I gutted them completely. I furnished them. I made them look beautiful. I started renting them out. I wasn't making, you know, goober's amount of money, but I was making a couple $100 a month that was sustaining some other activities, such as the invention that I personally have. And so when she told me that, I was like, I was in tears. I was emotionally wrecked, all that stuff. Well, luck have it, about 6 months later, you know, continuing to call their banks, trying to figure out if anybody can help me with these loans. Nobody could, because it was right after the main housing market crash in America. And it was actually funny because I would be watching TV and I'd be seeing these people on TV crying, like, I'm going to lose my house. And I'm like, oh man, that is horrible. Man, I'm lucky I'm able to keep my stuff. You know, I'm never even thinking that these notes were coming due. Next thing you know, I'm the guy crying because I might have to lose these buildings. Well, so as like I was saying, you know, 6 months to progress, my wife tells me we're pregnant. And at the time, of course, it's a miracle. It really, truly is a miracle. It's something that you'll never forget for the rest of your life. But I tell you what, at that moment, I didn't know what to think. I didn't know if I should have been happy, should I have been sad. I was thinking to myself, how can I provide for not only myself and my wife, and now this newborn child that has no idea about anything, doesn't understand the concept of money, doesn't understand anything, and I need to feed him, care for him, give him things to grow him up to be successful, but yet I am going through the, you know, the grind right now with all this stuff because I might lose my properties. Things would really, I would take a major, major hit, not only myself, but my wife, because now we're married and all that stuff. So that got me thinking again, like, okay, after I collected myself, I really did a reflect on my life. You know, I was like, I did good all the way up to this point. You know, what could I have done better? And I started exploring again those books, again going out there and meeting other people, allowing myself to call up banks and meet other individuals to give me other ideas because I needed something. And that's another thing that I want to share is a lot of people have these ideas and stuff, but they don't know how to go about it. Call people. Call the people that are in that and ask them questions. Pick at their brain. And that's what I did. Did I find anybody to take over the notes? No. But I realized within myself I had to do something else, and that was share my story with my audience. That's why I started Operation Self Reset. And also, too, to help people that are in my position of just kind of like yourself, you know, end of depression, but more of like how to become successful again, you know, how to get over events, how to mentally prepare yourself and prepare for success at the same time of realizing I can get through this emotional time. It's going to take some time. I want to change myself from who I am right now to that person I want to be. And that's why I started Operation Self Reset. I'm sorry, that was a very long story, but it's my story. And I really have to share almost all the aspects of it to give you the full effect. So, Tyrus, I hope you are sleeping on your end. But, you know, it's just something that I'm really passionate about. I really believe that can help people. And at the end of the day, I feel that I have a lot of good things to share, like yourself. And that's why I went out there and started the podcast.
Well, thanks, Jake. There's a lot we can learn from that story. And it's great to hear that you allowed people to help you move forward. You had the example, like your father. You've also reached out. You went to these meetup groups. You made calls. What you needed to know, you got that, found out from other people. I think that's important because a lot of people might feel detached. Mm-hmm. And especially if they're not even sure what they should be doing. Right. How might people get in touch with what is important to them? How should they be expending their energy, applying themselves? What's going to really be rewarding? Of course, we want to, you know, have a nice life and be able to provide and things like that. But how do people really know what is best for them?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that I want to start off with that question, it's a good question because the one thing that I think a lot of people would start with is, well, of course you have to find the money. You know, the money is so, I guess, everybody uses it. We all see the benefits of it. We all see the negative effects of it if you have too much of it, obviously. But the thing is, to detach yourself from the money, first of all, to not even think of that as a question. Don't ever think or start an idea or a project or a new way of life with the ultimate goal of, well, this should give me a lot of money. Because if you start there, you're already behind the eight ball. You know, it's a bad place to start. So get that out of the way first. I guess the next thing is to kind of figure out what really appeals to you. You know, what really drives you? What keeps you going internally? It's easy for us to get wrapped up in the excitement of all these new products and glitz and glamour and stuff that's going on. Take a moment and think about your true being, really who you are inside to really benefit and get yourself in a state of, I want to do this for me more than I want to do it for anybody else, for any other product, for any other distraction. So those are like the first two things, you know, get rid of the money, figure out who you are and believe in yourself. And then lastly is to put yourself out there about, like you said, going out there and talking to like-minded individuals. It's really important that there's so much more and greater information we can learn, not only through the books and, you know, online and all that stuff. We all understand that there's great information there. But talking to somebody face to face and asking them and picking their brain about, you know what, I have this idea or I have this thing that's going on in my life. I have a question that I'm unsure how to answer. How would you go about this? Or how would you handle this situation? And almost put it in their lap. And they might not always have the right answer. They might not always have the right thing to say, but it's a starting point for you to maybe be awakened by their idea of, oh yeah, oh, I didn't even think of that. Or that's a good place to start. Oh, thanks for that reference. It's those little things that I think that really put you in a right state to kind of figure out your path, your journey in life. And now that I'm answering that, does that answer your question in a way?
Yeah, it does. And that can really fill in the gaps to really give you a complete understanding as you move forward and you start to realize, hey, you know, I enjoy this or this is great for me, especially by communicating with people. So what do you see that might prevent people from being proactive with what they want to do?
Yeah, you know, that's another great question because it affects everybody. And as much as people want to say, no, I'm able to get out there and do whatever, and you know, you meet those crazy people in your workplace or outgoing and you're like, geez, how is that guy so outgoing? You know, it seems like nothing holds him back, you know? The thing that so many people and encounters myself, and I spoke of this earlier on, is fear. It's fear of others, it's the fear of unknown, and it's the fear of success or failure. And those three things right there will make or break you. And it's really a mental game. It's not something that you can read in a book and go, okay, I'm just going to do it now. It's not something that I can really say to you. And I try to portray it in my message, and I think you portray it in a different way, but of how to get over certain things that happen in your life. It's really just trying to figure out what you want. At the end of the day, if you go to bed and you're sitting there and you're laying there, man, I really want to start this podcast, or I really want to start that little business or start a sunglass shop or whatever it may be. And then you start thinking of all the what ifs and the fears that come down on it. well, you know, oh man, my neighbor's gonna make fun of me because he's well off and but he's a banker. You know, my mom and dad are gonna think I'm crazy because I might wanna quit my job that I'm making decent money at and try and experience these other avenues that I'm thinking of. You know, the one things that I can share to your audience and to the people listening to get over those certain things is, it's easy for me to say, so prepare yourself. It's so simple. The things that I try to share are just very simple ideas is who cares? It really, who cares? At the end of the day, you know, they did a survey of people that are in old age homes, a group from a school. I forget the school that did this survey. They went around to all the individuals and they said, you know, obviously you've lived a great life. Can you tell us the one things that you regret, the things that are bothering you, you wish you would have done something different? You know, how can you help the next generation that's behind you? And 90% of the audience, the people that answered the question was, the things that I wish I would have done are the things that I did not do. And those are the things of maybe starting that business, skydiving, you know, trying that new activity, meeting that person, you know, going up to somebody that is a celebrity that I see maybe in my local grocery store. And instead of watching them from afar, go walk up to them and say, hey, I appreciate what you do. I really like your work. Thank you. And walk away. There's so many times and so many moments in our life that we get nervous, scared. Oh, I don't know what the people are going to say about us. The thing is just to get yourself out there because you don't want to be that older, elderly man or woman at the end of their life reflecting every single day of what they could have done because of the fears that I was talking about, the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, the fear of, you know, family and friends. And for me, the big thing was fear of family and friends. Mm-hmm. But once I got over that and once I did it, I have no remorse. You know, this podcast that I do, Operation Self Reset, I still don't, you know, go on out to every friend that I have and, hey, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but I have a podcast because I'm not that type of guy. I'm not that type of guy to go out there and present myself in a way of, look at me, I'm the man, I have this thing going on in my life. You should be grateful of me. No, by no means. If they hear about it, great. If they ask me questions about it, I'll answer it. But I'm not going to go out of my way and, you know, put on Facebook, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm doing A, B, and C, and D. No, the thing is you need to be comfortable with yourself first. Tackle those fears. If you are so caught up in trying to impress others and you're so caught up of what are they going to say, you're never going to do anything. And that's what held me back internally. I don't have that secret sauce to really tell you guys how to get over that. And no matter what book you read, no matter what video, no matter what speaker you listen to, there will be times in your life you're going to get so motivated and you're going to think to yourself, this is my moment. I can do this. But yet when you walk out of that audience or when you walk away from your computer and try that first step, those fears are going to come back at you. You really need to have that mind control and that internal belief that you can succeed. And if you don't succeed, that's okay. It adds to your story. You know, Tyrus, you spoke of, you know, our stories portray, you know, our life journey. And that's so true. I mean, from what I spoke of in the beginning, our journey is so powerful. And the things that we do, successes or failures, either way, they're interesting to people. We can learn from them. And that's why on my podcast, you know, I bring on some pretty cool, interesting people because I want to pick at their brain. How did they get over that fear of failure? Because the only way to really learn within ourselves to get over it is to learn from people who did it. And that's why I personally don't have that secret sauce or that one-step process for you guys to get over that and achieve greatness in your own life is because the answer is within the story. Mm. The answer is I just did it. I knew I was scared. I knew it was going to be – I was going to – this is going to hurt. But I knew it was the right thing for me to do because it was my purpose, it was my destiny, and it was what I was supposed to do in this life. And I think if you encounter all those three things and you really think about them and you take a second and you write down your ideas and what your goals are, and if there's fear involved in them, you have to get over them. There's no better way to say it, but just get over it. So I hope that can answer that question.
Wow, yeah. Jake, is it possible to over-plan? Planning would seem like a great thing for people, but is it possible to over-plan and never really be active?
Yes, over-planning could almost destroy any goal, any activity that you have in your life. And I say that because when it comes time, I'm personally now, when it comes to a podcasting, for example, my biggest thing is, well, how do I sound? Well, I said too many times, or I said or too many pauses or whatever. I could go crazy. I could analyze that video time and time again, record. And I did that for my first one because I wanted to make it good, right? As to everybody that's out there listening, you want to make sure that anything that you do is good. You know, you provide something of value. You provide something that's really interesting to other people. The thing is, though, you don't need to be a perfectionist. You almost need to think of it as on-the-job training. You want to transform your life in a different direction. The first step is just to do it, just to take that step in that direction. You want to start a diet, clear out all your junk food. That's the first step. The things pertain after that, you're just going to learn as you go. For me, with the voice, I got better as time goes on. I did not keep on recording that first one because, well, I need to make this perfect. No, I said, you know what? This is truly who I am inside. This is the real Jake Naraki. If I say uhs or I pause too long or I can't get out of my thoughts, that's really who I am. And I need to portray that because there's nothing better than being 100% honest and truthful in whatever you do. And yes, you want to, you know, portray, like I said, just like amazing material or amazing artwork or amazing photography or whatever it is that you are trying to proceed or do in your life. You don't have to be an expert first. The key is just to start and do it, and the rest will follow. And you're right. You are so right when you say being a perfectionist and trying to get things to make you feel like this is going to be my 100% every single time. You're never going to knock it out of the park on your first time. The key is to step back up to that batter's box time and time again to really succeed in life and also in personal success.
Yeah, that's so important. People, I think, could be themselves to the fullest, and that's going to be the most rewarding to them, especially when they're able to do that without making judgments, to have right. That sense of purpose and to do it, to be themselves, and everything they do comes from that. Well, if someone is feeling quite detached, maybe they have been for a while, what would you say are some ways that they can get motivated and be proactive with what speaks to them, what's truly them? How can they go from that one state to the other? It's like a reset. You have reset in your title, which is such a great word. How can they make that leap?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult to do. And I'm not an expert in this by any means, but I know the things that have worked, not only myself, but the people that I interview, because the whole point is the more we learn from one another, the better we can become as an individual. And making that jump and becoming motivated all starts, I truly believe, of the simple things. You know, as you guys know, I'm not going to tell you anything crazy. Exercising, eating healthy, getting enough sleep. And the most important for me is starting your day on the right foot. There's no better way to start literally a new day by saying to yourself before you get up, taking a deep breath and saying, you know what, I'm going to make today the best day that I can. And no matter what's going on around you, you might be going through bankruptcy like myself. You might be, you know, having a newborn screaming all night long. And you're thinking to yourself, I only got 1 hour of sleep. Now I have to go to court. Now I have to do my job. Now I have to do this, all that stuff. How do you keep motivated and on that path to success? Well, the key is trying to start your day on that right foot. You know, the best way to succeed is by practice and by practicing how you play. That's where the exercise and the eating has come into play because that kind of sustains your body. We all need that. We all understand the importance of it. Mm. Starting with your mind on the right level will really achieve yourself in greatness too. To become motivated and to keep that going, that's the hardest part. We all get motivated. We all get jacked up and excited and, I want to do this and succeed and I can't wait to change my life. That fades. It's like that very potent cup of coffee or that espresso that you take and you feel great. You feel like you can accomplish anything. You're going to run home and clean the house, you know, wash your car, whatever it may be in your own, you know, physical life or personal life, whatever. Those fade. The key is how do we keep that motivation going? Well, the person that really struck a chord with me was Michael Thornton. He was a Navy SEAL. He won the Medal of Honor. He was quick story about him real fast. Yeah. He went in on a covert mission in Vietnam. Long story short, he got ambushed by a Vietnam army, him and six of his crew. He ran out of ammunition. He absolutely had no ammunition. He finished his last magazine, which is full of ammunition, and he told the rest of his guys to start jumping in the water and swim out in the ocean. He finished his gun full of ammunition, dropped it, and just like the movies, jumped in the water and started swimming out to sea. He had an injured comrade on his back while he was doing the breaststroke. The gentleman that was swimming next to him got shot in the butt, and he started to drown. Mike Thornton, the gentleman I'm speaking of, he grabbed him and threw him in front of him while he was doing the breaststroke just to keep him afloat and keep him going. And I would ask him, I'm like, Mike, how did you do that? I mean, you're getting shot at, you lose all your ammunition, you got an injured guy in your back, you got a guy in front of you that just got shot, he's drowning. Now, and also too, he swam in that open ocean for 3 hours. 3 hours. I can't even swim in a pool for 3 hours. And this guy has all of his equipment, all this stuff, and he has two guys that he's trying just to keep above water. And he told me, he goes, Jake, no matter what it is, no matter if it's any goal in your life, no matter if there is a tragic event, if there's something that happens, you need to focus on your goals, whatever they may be, and you need to never give up. And I was like, oh my gosh. And you know what? It's so easy for us to say, oh, never give up. You know what? Good for you. Keep on going. No, don't give up. But when you hear from a man that literally was, his life was on the line and he saved two other people and he swam in that open ocean for 3 hours to say, never give up, I hope it instills a passion through my voice of what he told me, because truly that is the number one thing when it comes to life, when it comes to transformation, reset, whatever you want to call it. You never give up. No, never give up on yourself. You never give up on the people that are around you. And you, most importantly, you never give up on your family, because without your family and without your support group, you are nothing. It's teamwork that carries you through life. And personally, if you can never give up on no matter what you do, people believe in you and they'll want to help you more and more every single time. So that's how you keep motivated and keep on the right path. If you keep that in the back of your mind, and even though that motivational waves might come and go, you might feel excited and ambitious and I can do this, there's going to be times when you feel drained and times are tough and you're tired and you just ate that huge hamburger and you're just, you just don't feel like doing it. Remember in the back of your brain that time of Michael Thornton sitting there on the beach thinking to himself, I'm never going to give up. I'm going to keep on living. I'm going to keep on pushing ahead. Truly, that's what inspires me to keep this podcast alive and truly what inspires me to reach my goals and to better myself and to better my family.
Jake, would you tell us where we can get in touch with you and where we can hear your podcast, read the content you put up and see the videos and really get the benefit of all you're sharing with people? Where can they go?
Yeah, no problem. You guys can go to operationselfreset.com. I am also on Twitter, OP Self Reset, at Twitter. And also too, if you guys have any questions, concerned about, you know, changing your life, resetting, you know, you have this thing going on, but you don't know how to handle it, I am always open to emails. You guys can email me at support@operationselfreset.com. Actually, Tyrus, that's how you got a hold of me. And I appreciate you bringing me on the podcast. And you know, just kind of summary here of everything I said, you know, sometimes I really get passionate about what I'm speaking of is because passion really comes with something that you portray and you really enjoy. And I really enjoy helping other people because not only does it help you guys listening, it helps, you know, Tyrus feel motivated to do his next podcast or whatever it may be, but it also gets me motivated knowing that I'm helping others. And I think if you're able to help others in a right aspect of life, you'll get motivated every single day when you wake on up. So, Tyrus, thanks again for bringing me on here. And I hope I gave your audience a couple of tidbits of how to keep on trucking through life.
Yeah, this is excellent. Thank you so much, Jake.
Thanks, Tyrus.
And thank you for listening. I'd like to have more guests on the show. For so many podcasts, I know it was just me. Well, it wasn't for lack of interest. I had just kept it low tech. If there is anyone you think we should bring on the show, let me know. You can send me a note about that or anything through the website tyrusgray.com. This is Tyrus Gray. Be blessed.